Hey, what's up, everyone? Chef Tony Marchanti in downtown Bethesda, Maryland, 30-year veteran of the restaurant trade. Launching a little podcast here on the Anchor FM network. I'm pretty stoked about the app. Just want to let you know, this is a podcast about restaurant ownership, marketing lessons, operation lessons, and I'm going to use Anchor to make it easy for me because I run a restaurant, so at least some of these will be done from shooting from the hip. As I'm closing my restaurant, opening my restaurant, thinking about things to add in, I want the episodes to be pretty short, but bring you value. So thanks for listening. Let's get into the show. Hey everyone, Chef Tony here with another episode of Restaurant Owner Lessons Podcast. I'm here with my buddy Chase Buckner.
Chef T, what's happening?
We are using the high levels of technology. We're talking on Anchor, which we are not paid sponsors, but we are a big fan of to make it easy to podcast. And you're in Mexico, Mexico City, I believe, right?
No, I'm in Puerto Vallarta right now.
Oh, that's right. Puerto Vallarta, PV you called it. That's right. So Chase and I know each other through a series of internet things, and then we met in person finally in Chicago at the Active Campaign podcast, and I'm psyched to have him here today. Chase, tell us a little bit about why we're talking and what you're all about.
Yeah, so I am a digital marketer. I run a company called Customer Bloom, and we've been doing, you know, everything from web design and development to SEO to funnel marketing for almost a decade now. And like you said, we met through one of our favorite platforms, Active Campaign. And over the past year or so, I've been working on a new project called Cooking with Social, which is basically taking everything that we do at Customer Bloom and that I've learned over the years and applying it to the restaurant industry, which is a big passion of mine. And so when I heard your podcast on Active Campaign, I thought, wow, here's a chef restaurant owner who actually gets marketing, which is pretty rare. So
yeah, I think I'm like a three-legged zebra or something. I actually understand something about marketing here or there.
Yeah, so I thought I should talk to this guy. So I sent you a message and you replied, and then we got together in Chicago, which was great. So it's a pleasure to be on your show.
Cool. I'm really psyched to have you. It's really funny because, you know, just a conversation we had. We had talked so much on the phone and emailed and started working on this idea. And you've been carrying the ball on that for quite a while. And we finally met. And I said, I'm feeling very, very millennial-like. You know, we're hopping in Ubers. I'm meeting this guy for the first time at an Airbnb. And it was fun, though. It was really, really fun.
It was
one of those moments.
Pen pals to bunkmates.
Yeah, really. And it was funny because, you know, I don't travel much, and it was a big adventure for me to get out and kind of run to Chicago all of a sudden, but I'm really glad we did it. So had an interesting conference. But, yeah, in the restaurant industry, unfortunately, there's just not enough smart marketing going on. And you know, we've talked so many times about it, but it's just a shame because restaurants need it the most. And so tell us a little bit about what you've been working on and how it kind of goes through its paces with a restaurant.
Yeah, so that was basically the premise. The idea really came out of three basic beliefs, which is, you know, things I've seen over the years, which is one, restaurant marketing is really the easiest marketing to be done, right? Everybody eats every day. It's hard to look at a photo of something that looks delicious and not want to go pay for it. So it's really the easiest marketing to do if you know what you're doing and you put some time into it. The second thing was that restaurants pretty much do no marketing.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And that's the third premise was, well, they do no marketing because it's usually a chef owner who's too busy focusing on the restaurant. And so I thought, wow, you know, this is a great opportunity. I grew up in the restaurant industry. My uncle was a chef. My first job was, you know, grinding up guts to make seafood bisque. And
did we really talk? Did we talk through that?
I don't think so. Sure. No,
I don't think. Yeah, how do you keep that secret from me? I mean, kind of related to the whole thing of us meeting, right?
I can still smell it.
Seafood guts. Oh my god! Yeah, seafood guts is not good. Seafood's great, but the guts. Not so
good. The bisque is still the best thing I've ever tasted. But
there you go.
Yeah, I used to have to schlep guts up to the back kitchen and grind them up for hours for my uncle.
Wow. It's a lot of work. As you know, then if we did all that, the restaurant business is very much a lot of work and a lot of passion that goes into it. But you're right. People, the marketing aspect seems to be lost by the wayside sometimes because
And it's we've so
raised
sad.
People,
yeah.
We've raised people to be technicians. Yeah, the sad, you're right. The sad part is that they need it the most. We need it the most, right?
So yeah, 100%. You know, most restaurant owners, and I mean, certainly the ones that I know, are some of the best, you know, the biggest characters you'll ever meet, the kindest people. You know, they want to please you so much. And a lot of the restaurants fail just because they sort of open their doors and hoped for the best.
Hope, wish marketing, I think it's referred to.
Yeah. You know, and you just hope your food is so good that, you know, it's going to hit and stick. And the truth is, you know, every business needs some help. You got to put yourself out there. And so that's what spawned Cooking with Social. And so that's the premise, was basically to create a program that was affordable enough for, you know, most restaurants, and that required very little to zero work from the owner. And that's really the core principles of what's driving the products, the services that we're trying to package up. And that's why I reached out to you, and I'm excited to have you on board as, you know, sort of a partner or a, you know, a co-signer,
a liaison,
to the industry.
Yeah, we're figuring out how that's all going to work, but I'm excited to be around the energy. And, you know, it's something, it's funny because I think that, energy flows and things happen definitely for reasons. And, you know, what you've started creating and been working on, is definitely down my alley, because it's just restaurant people. And I'm a weird blend, right? I'm a techie guy and a restaurant guy, and I do a lot of both every day. But most times, like you said, they're great technicians, they're great and passionate about the industry and serving their guests and all that. But, you know, the reality is, like, I look at it as every day people are going to leave your business, many times not by your own fault. But like in my area, I get people all the time, they're like, oh, you know, I love coming here, but unfortunately this is our last dinner. And I'll be like, well, what happened? So, well, we're moving to Texas, you know, or we're, you know, my uncle got us a house and wherever, and we're moving. And at the same moment, you get people are coming into the area. So any city, of course, has people coming and going, but it's really something that you don't always consciously notice. And that's why you see the, you know, the 22-year-old restaurant that goes out of business, because they didn't keep an eye on the trend of how their guest count was going. And they didn't actively market and get new people. I mean, I've literally watched restaurants that, like, their clientele dies off.
Well, that's what you just hit it on the head. And I just started listening to John Taffer's podcast. I'm a huge fan of Bar Rescue. It's like the only show I actually watch. And he cracks me up. And he summed up marketing perfectly. And you just basically said it in your own words, which is marketing is two things: getting new customers and retaining them and activating them to come back over and over. And when you think about it, it's just, again, it's really easy. Because how many times do you look at your wife and go, what are we doing for dinner tonight?
Oh yeah, completely.
And neither one of you can come up with an answer. And it's like, if somebody had just shot you an email earlier that day, or if somebody was running a Facebook ad that you saw, you know, the half hour before, it wouldn't even be a question. It would be, hey, let's go back to Tony's. Remember that lobster we had there?
Yeah, I mean, the reality is, look, we're all living in a world that's so full of, you know, so full of alerts and so full of distractions and so full of, like, everything that we have to cut through the clutter and the noise and get to someone's head. And, you know, you think about the basics of marketing. You know, has anybody in the world never heard of Coca-Cola?
Right.
You know, but yet you see their ads constantly. McDonald's, like, yeah, you don't have to be a multi-billion-dollar corporation to have a presence. The beautiful thing is nowadays with Facebook and Twitter and Pinterest and all the rest of them, and, you know, Snapchat, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Instagram is one of the hottest platforms right now. You can get in someone's pocket with very little influence and very little money, really. And having the proper presence and home when they get there is so crucial, because otherwise, I mean, I see restaurants that just have a website that looks like it's from 1996 and they don't have any idea. I mean, you said funnels. We should probably explain to people what a sales funnel is, because most restaurants don't do anything along that line.
Yeah, I love funnel marketing because it's really the culmination of everything that we've been doing in the industry over the past 10 years. And it used to all be sort of siloed, and now it all works in conjunction. And with our plan, the funnel is pretty simple. It starts with an offer, so something to get people into your funnel. And we work with restaurants to come up with a standing offer, so something very affordable for you to preferably give away, So let's say it's a bruschetta appetizer that costs you, I don't know, what's it cost to make a bruschetta?
Probably $1, $1.25, something like that.
There you go, $1.25. So we take that standing offer, you know, we build an email capture into your website where people can join your newsletter and claim that offer. And then we run Facebook ads with that offer every month in your market. So every month you now have this influx of people giving you their information, and they have a reason to come by because they have a free bruschetta that they can claim. So you're getting new people in the door every month. And then once you have that information, they're in your funnel, which means you can email them every month. You can text message them if you want every month. You can remarket to them on Facebook every month. So you have all these ways to incentivize them to keep coming back because they're in your funnel now.
Now, let's also be clear. Sorry to interrupt, but let me give some perspective from, you know, my operating background is that, you know, for those out there, and I know restaurant owners pretty well, for those that are start to think this is either going to be really super complicated or expensive, it's not either. Mm-mm. But also think about the fact of what a lost guest or an empty chair does for your business. Obviously, it does nothing. And it's your most expensive issue, right? When you have an issue with filling your lunchtime and you want to run some promotion to get people in there, the funnel side of things keeps them in your neighborhood, right? Mm-hmm. The problem with these old school like newspaper, and I'm saying this because I know somebody listening to us is thinking, yeah, but I could run an ad or I don't want to run ads because it doesn't work. The difference of digital marketing versus the traditional method, which we're still in that era of having to kind of go through this, but you get so much data and so targeting, you can target your ads so much greater on a digital platform than back in the day when it's kind of the spray and pray mindset, right? We're going to put an ad, we're going to put you in 50,000 homes. And mm-hmm. at the end of the day, you get three coupons back. You've done nothing because if you don't capture their data, and I have a list of about 7,000 people, and I have a rewards program that is, you know, works in conjunction of about 3,600 people last time I checked. Anytime I put out an offer, I get money, like I get sales.
Well, that's the point. You have the list, and that's the value that most people don't have. And so you have to always be building your database, your list of your patrons, so that you can activate them when you're in a tough spot. I mean, if you order all this food and all of a sudden you get a snowstorm and you're closed for a day and you're sitting all this inventory that you need to move. Well, if you have a list of 3,000 people in your area and you shoot out an email that says, hey, we're doing, you know, half price, whatever lunch tomorrow for 20 people, the first 20 to claim it. Well, guess what? You're going to move that inventory instead of just taking it as a loss.
Exactly. And I've done that literally. I had one night where I had a bunch of lobsters and we had to close due to an issue with the electricity, I think. And then I sent a text out and I sold seven, like they were big. They were like three or 3.5 pound lobsters. Mm. I sold them literally in 20 minutes. And so, I mean, I had to say this. Lady came from across the street who was in the middle of a nail appointment. She like flopped. She like, you know when like women, they get their nails done, their toenails done, they wear those weird little like paper sandals. Like
foam in between her toes.
She flip-flopped across. Yeah, exactly. And she knocked on the door. I'm not even kidding you. She knocked on the door, shoved a credit card in my hand, said, I'll be over after I'm done. Give me one of those lobsters. I mean, if that doesn't, and that's been my go-to story for a while. I haven't said it enough, but that it works. You know, like we just think of what you and I do, right? If you and I are out, we say, where do you want to go to lunch? And all of a sudden we get a text or got an email that morning and we say, hey, let's go check out this place. I did a lot, you know, last week with a place. And I've been telling people about it because it was a good restaurant. We just got to think how people actually live. And, you know, I think it's so necessary. It's like oxygen, I think, to do the stuff we're talking about.
Yeah. And the flip side of it is there is a little technical know-how to make these things run smoothly. And that's sort of the pleasure that I have is making that all happen on the back end. So it, you know, a lot of times the chefs that I work with and the owners, you know, it's almost like magic, like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. But, you know, that's just what we do on our side of the industry. And when you know how to do a couple of things, you can do things that weren't possible, right? Like what we're talking about is essentially what Groupon built their whole company on. Mm-hmm. But with Groupon, mm-hmm. you're giving away 50% and then you have to pay them 50% of the half that you do keep.
Yeah.
Whereas nowadays, and you can do it yourself. Yeah.
Yeah, and the reality is you don't get any remarketing benefit from that.
No. Nope.
Right? When people are in your own funnel, and I've always said this to people when they do marketing and they understand like the value of an email list. Like for some that are pretty heavy marketers, people might look at email as kind of a thing of, you know, many years ago. But I still maintain that it's the only one-to-one platform, right? Mm-hmm. Even when, as you use Facebook ads, that's a good thing. All the social media is good. But when you have them on your list, you can, unless they just opt out, which is obviously always an option, but you have a voice with them anytime you want it. How you handle that voice is your option. But like you said with Groupon, I mean, you don't get any long-term benefit. Groupon gets a commission every time that you use them.
Yep.
And, you know, many operators, you know, they're doing okay, but they're not doing as good as you think. And they need fresh customers.
Well,
and with this program, you can keep them in your loop and keep marketing to them.
And the other thing that's very cool about funnel marketing and what really makes it funnel marketing is stages, right? So a funnel is about stages. Right. And so, again, going back to John Taffer, he was on Gary Vaynerchuk's show, somebody else that I really respect and like to follow. And he dropped a piece of knowledge that was just amazing to me, and it made a lot of sense. And basically what he said is, if someone comes into your restaurant for the first time and they have a great experience, they're only 40% likely to come back. And if they they come in a second time, they're still only about 40% likely to come back. But if they come back a third time and have a good experience, they're like 80% more likely to come back again. And so what we can do with funnel marketing is, and then he explains like this old school method of how he would make sure people would come back three times.
Yeah, I remember
that.
Which
was cool. But in my mind, it was like, well, you know what? We do that digitally now through the funnel. So it's like someone claims your bruschetta, they come in, you can see when they're there, which then triggers the next phase of the funnel. So maybe then an email comes back and says, thanks for coming in. We hope you enjoyed the bruschetta. You know, we just put this new special on the menu. We'd love for you to try it. Here's 20% off. Come on in. And, you know, and then the third time you can, you know, and if they do come back, then you can trigger something else. And so it's like you can create this funnel that makes sure people get to that third visit for you. And so it's really impressive and it's really fun. And the math is behind it.
Yeah. I mean, the amazing thing is you can watch all this happen. You can monitor your numbers, as you said. And I want people also to understand that this can be, you know, this kind of idea of this marketing is your choice, right? The owner, the manager who might be managing the program or whatever gets, you know, you have options. And it's not about always discounting necessarily, right? I mean, once you have that, you showed me those really nice emails you had written for the client of yours. Once you have that set up in place, I mean, emails going out are informing as well, like you did the panzanella salad, right? With a nice little gif in there, whatever you call it.
That's a perfect example, because that chef owner did not want to give anything away. I do not want to give things away. My restaurant, you know, I've been doing this for long enough now. We have enough of a reputation where I don't need, nor do I want to be giving things away for free. And I said, we don't have to. Let's focus on your specials menu that changes frequently. And let's tell stories about the dishes behind them. So every month we send out his newsletter goes out and it tells a really nice story about one of the dishes on their special menu. And people love it. He's not giving anything away. He's just, again, he's getting the logo in front of you every month with some nice photos and a nice story. And it compels people to come in.
Yeah. And I think it's a home run. And storytelling, which you touched on, is what we need to be doing more of in our industry, right? I think that so many restaurants open up and they expect that they're, like you said, their food and the restaurant will pull them in. But really, people love story and they love feeling included, right? So when you send out that email, it includes them in the process of how we make the salad. You know, and I think like recipes and that kind of thing is usually like food porn.
100%.
You know, They you can give out every recipe in the world. No one's going to copy your stuff and no one's going to be at home 90% of the time doing your recipe, but it includes them and they can kind of walk through it with you and they feel like they're an insider.
Well, that's a piece of advice that I would give is that, you know, when we talk about storytelling, it can be pretty daunting. I'm not a writer, this or that. But it's really easy to coach it out of someone. You know, if I looked at your menu and I picked an item and I said, why is this on here? You might have, you know, you off the top of your head, you'd be like, oh, well, you know what? When I was a kid, my uncle used to make that. And it's always reminded me completely of this. And that's why. And it's like, boom, there it is. You put that in an email.
Yeah. Yeah.
People love it.
And I think the amazing thing is that also this stuff is happening when you're doing your thing. Right. So once you've crafted that email, you got to remember that if people aren't going to remember an email they got from 6 months ago. Mm-hmm. Right. So many of these messaging things that you're going to create can be recycled, and there's new people on your list every day. And there's people that are getting this message months ago, but they'll still be interested to see it on your site or on your email in the future. And can you talk a little bit about the importance of a website? Because I find that people lose value or lose the sight of what a website's supposed to be.
Yeah, I look at websites in two ways. On the one way, it's critical. It's the hub of everything that you do. You know, if somebody recommends you, the first thing that someone's going to do is Google your business name and click to your website. So it's absolutely, you know, imperative that you have a nice looking website that, you know, is responsive and looks great on a phone. But then the second way I look at it is most people overthink websites. You know, they spend all this time and money going back and forth. And at the end of the day, they're not a web designer. So they end up with something that doesn't really look that great because they went down this long rabbit hole. And so the way that we look at it is, you can get everything done on a restaurant website that you need with one page. And so we've sort of created this framework of a one-page restaurant website that has, you know, a beautiful image at the top with a clear call to action, that standing offer to get people into your funnel. It's got your menus that you can click through very easily and read. It's got a quick gallery that links to Instagram where people are going to want to go. And then most importantly, it has, you know, your phone number, your hours, and your location.
I thought it was super interesting that you mentioned something one time when in one of our talks about Instagram being the place that people are going to go check out your photos.
Of course.
I mean, obviously that's what it does, but that you don't need to have many photos on your website, which I thought was really smart.
Yeah, we say
people many times they overload them.
100%. And that slows down your website. And now you have to keep up with that. And this, you know, we say, look, give us 5 great photos. We'll put them in a slider and then there'll be a button with the Instagram symbol and people immediately know what that means. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And you're keeping them within your ecosystem as far as looking them up. So it's very cool. What would you say kind of in wrapping up the ideas around marketing that you've seen that you guys are focused on and that people can take away from the episode?
Instagram, I think, is everything nowadays. And now that you can pin things to the top, it opens up a whole world of possibility. But I actually wanted to leave you with a really cool story of the exact opposite, analog marketing that I thought was amazing and happened recently by that same client that we were just talking about. Mm-hmm. who did something unbeknownst to me that I was actually away on vacation. And when I heard the story, I thought, wow, that's really awesome. And I wonder how many restaurant owners are cognizant enough or willing to pull something like this off. And so basically it started with, I was scrolling through his Facebook feed of his restaurant looking just for any new comments. And I saw one from a very, very famous chef. And I won't name names because I don't know if they would want me telling this story, but
mm-hmm. Okay.
A very famous chef. He has a documentary on Netflix right now, and he left a comment that said something along the lines of, my second meal here, blown away by the courage to do such simple ingredients so well, hats off, da 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 da. And so I screenshotted it and I sent it to our client and I said, have you seen this? And they were like, yeah, can you believe it? And I said, this is incredible. How did this happen? You know? And so he told me the story, which just blew me away. So a few days before, he was at another restaurant that's owned by a friend of ours. And this famous person was sitting at the bar and he ordered an old fashioned with mezcal. And so the bartender was sort of fumbling through it. And our client, you know, sort of said to him aside, "Do you know what you're doing?" And the bartender said, "No, I don't." So he sort of talked him through it. And the drink went over and he loved it. And he sort of, you know, this famous person saw what had happened and gave him a wink and a thanks or whatever. And so he left. And so my client went to our friend later that night and said, "I can't believe so-and-so was at your restaurant." And they said, "Yeah, can you believe it?" And he wants to have lunch tomorrow. And so, you know, our client said, "Well, bring him to my place." So he runs home and he redoes the special menu. And at the top of it, he puts a mezcal old fashioned, and he names it with the initials of this famous person.
Nice.
And so sure enough, the next day, that person comes into his restaurant, sees the drink on the specials menu, orders it, pulls out his phone, Instagrams it, and says, "My new favorite drink is on special at my new favorite restaurant."
Oh, wow.
And so that went out, and I hadn't even seen that. And so after that, he ended up coming back the next day for dinner, and that's when he posted the Facebook post.
That's awesome.
But I just thought, what a cool story. And what, you know, to run home and reprint your special menu in the morning, hoping that this would happen, and then it did, was
pretty cool. That's a great story. Well, I think that's a beautiful story of how, you know, that's a perfect example of how life works. How, you know, you saw like the physicalness of him jumping into at another restaurant to help the bartender, which shows the empathy that hospitality people usually have. Like, "Hey, dude," or "Do that," you know, "here's how to do that drink," right? And then capitalizing on the fact that that could happen, where this famous guy might show up or would show up, and taking the steps to really impress him with a special menu. And then the digital side of it happening with the chef himself posting on Instagram and posting the comment. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That is a great story. You told me you had a good one, and you definitely delivered.
It's good. It's awesome. I think it really illustrates the passion that most chefs and restaurant owners have for their business, and why
completely,
you know, I really want to empower those people. And, you know, not everybody has the luck to fall into a situation like I just described, but we can certainly, you know, help these places out digitally.
Yeah. And I think you kind of enhance the opportunity. I've always said that, you know, you never know. I mean, nowadays we just don't know who's looking at what and when, right? A picture we put up on Instagram, a Facebook post, obviously people in the restaurant, you never know how they got to be at your place. And I want to remind people that, you know, I get it all the time where people come in and they have a great experience and they say, "How long you been here?" You know, and I'll pass by a table and say, "How long you been here?" And I think they usually expect me to say like, "Oh, you know, 6 months or a year or 2 years." And I say almost 11 and they feel guilty. They feel like, how did I not know to come here? And then it's like, okay, it's all good. But the reason I'm saying that is that people will discover you in all kinds. Your funnel is so wide, right? They could find you either walking by the restaurant, on the web, on a social media app, you know, through a picture that you posted, somebody shares. So we never know where they're going to find out about us, but we need to always be conscious of bringing new people into the fold, because, you know, us and our restaurant, we've had one of our best years ever. And I think it is always enhanced by our digital presence. So
yeah. And that's the one piece of advice I would leave your listeners with, is everything should be a transaction of data. In that situation where you had that new person in your restaurant, don't let them leave and let that be the end of the experience. You know what I mean? You have to connect with them in some way. And that's why when you have a standing offer, you can say, "Oh, it's your first time here. You really loved it. Oh, great. Well, did you know that we have this free bruschetta on our website? We'd love to see you come back. Just go on the website, claim it, and stop back anytime." And now, you know what I mean? You've called them to action to give you their data so that you can put them in your funnel and market to them over and over again.
Yeah, that's super smart. I think everybody needs to look at the opportunities within their regular dining experience to interact in a way to get them in the funnel. Because once they're in there and you impress them, they'll stay in there, and there's always opportunities. So
that's right.
Thank you, Chase. Where do people find about your program and you and et cetera? Where's the best place for them to check it out?
Yeah, Cooking with Social. So it's cookingwithsocial.com and cookingwsocial on Instagram.
Sweet.
Check it out.
Well, we will. I'm just going to drop a little bit of a hint that you and I are working on an interesting little show idea that we might be pushing out there to the people. That you and I will focus on marketing efforts because both of us are super passionate about restaurants and their ability to get better at marketing. So I'll leave that there on the table. Just let it sit there on the corner there, and we'll see where that comes up in the near future. But thanks a lot for being on the show. And I did feel like we could talk about this for another, hour. But we appreciate people listening and appreciate your time.
Thank you. And I look forward to all the fun that we're going to have.
Yeah. Thanks, guys, for listening to Restaurant Owner Lessons. .com, the podcast. I want to thank Chase for coming out virtually, at least, to be on the show, and we will see you on the next episode. Hey guys, sorry, just a quick outro. If you don't know who I am, go to the intro episode. It should tell you a little bit more, but also you can check out my restaurant at cheftonysbethesda.com. You find me on facebook.com/cheftony. I'm on Twitter, on Snapchat, and on Instagram at instagram.com/cheftony. /Chef Tony's Bethesda. But I just want to make sure and not to assume that everybody knows who I am, because that's certainly not the case. But I do have 30 years in the business, and I want to share more and more what I do and what I've done and what I've learned through trial and error. So thanks for listening, guys. See you on the next one. Hey guys, what's up? Chef T here. I'm in my office recording you live from Office Central in my restaurant. Just had a busy week. Which is amazing. But wanted to talk to you real quick about, because we just completed an event yesterday. You're going to hear a little paperwork rustling in the background. I hope that's okay. We're going to call it ambient noise, because I'm literally in my office doing paperwork, but it won't be much. As I crinkle. We're going to talk about taste events, which, if you don't know what a taste, kind of what I'm calling a taste event, it's a taste of. So whatever city you live in, like Austin or Bethesda or Arlington or D.C., there's usually some kind of taste event. And if not a taste event, you'll have an event that's similar, all kinds of different events that you get invited to participate in, whether it's a taste event or just a local, whatever. And I want to touch on some of the benefits of doing them, right? Because some restaurants, in my opinion, make a bad decision not to show up. And in our business, there's always a lot more stuff to do than we have time for, quite frankly. But, so it might lead us to kind of imagine that it's not worth the time invested, right? But if you're in a position where you can, if you can add yourself a little bit of budget to do an event of any sort, including a taste or including a maybe like a giveaway happy hour thing, right? Where you go to a hotel, you go to some kind of place and you give away some drinks and some food, whatever. It really determines or shows your mindset when you agree or disagree to do these things, in my humble opinion. Now, given the fact that you're new in your startup and you don't have the money, I get it. If you can't give away stuff, you can't. And I'm not here to poo-poo anybody. But if you're able to do a little bit of a giveaway, I really want to encourage you to do that, because like my buddy Steve said so wisely some years ago, he said, whenever you're invited to something, you should go. And that's usually a pretty simple and easy rule and a very true rule in my opinion, because I definitely have gotten invited to things at times, meaning literally like at times in my day where I didn't want to go. Like I have a certain circle of friends that are early risers and kind of traditional business people, 9-to-5 jobs and, that kind of thing. So for them to get up a little bit early and go into like an early morning cocktail meeting, not cocktail, but like a, a thing where you go and you network and you do your thing. Many times for them, it's, I get up an hour or two earlier, right? But for me, coming around the backside of doing, closing a restaurant at 11 or 12 o'clock at night and then getting up at, sometimes 6 to get to some place, some hotel in, a little bit of a distance away and get parked and sometimes have to put on a suit or something that's not really me.
You know, I started to say, ah, is it really worth it? That kind of thing. But in all honesty, usually it is worth it. Because you run into somebody or, you know, connect with the right person and you get a different perspective. You do some business, you get some, you know, a good connection, you make a friend, that kind of thing. So the same thing goes for these kind of taste of events or giveaway type promotional things. Now you can't do them all. I get hit up a lot by either donations or can you come and, you know, like either donate like a gift card or come to this place and give a certain amount of food. And I definitely don't do them all. But I do a lot and I definitely invest in those certain kind of events that I think are going to be beneficial for us in terms of our reputation or, you know, making friends. So yesterday we did a Taste of Bethesda. Now we've done it many, many years. I've done it probably 9 years for my restaurant here, and I did it for the restaurant I ran before for at least 6 years. And so basically what you do is you agree with the city to be a part of it. You pay a fee for your booth. You bring your food, your taste of whatever menu item you want to serve, and you got to tell them ahead of time. And you basically cash them in for tickets. So people buy tickets from the organizer. For our event, it's 4 tickets for $5. So each ticket is worth, on face value, $1.25. Now, the restaurants turn them back into the Taste of Bethesda organizers for 75 cents. So therein lies the vig, right? The organizer's making 50 cents a ticket. They've got somewhere in the neighborhood of 30,000 people that come through, so they make a nice little chunk of change. Now, there are expenses, but you rent your booth for $500. So that's probably covering the cost of a tent rental, and it's a pretty small booth. So usually they do, it could be a single, could be a double, whatever. But anyways, at the end of the day, you see a lot of people come by and try your stuff. If you're a new restaurant, it really makes a lot of sense to go try to do this, because even if, as long as you can break even or close to it, it's an extremely helpful marketing day. I actually invested in a pop-up sign, like a nice vinyl banner that retracts. And we had that looking really good at our booth with my wife and I. Designed it the other day and got a print at Kinko's. I invested in a few staff members. I invested in my grandkids coming and paid them some money to come and help out. And my wife was there and I was there and we were hustling all day. It was a very long day. I want to thank anyone who's listening for all their help if they're listening from my perspective. But overall, we saw a lot of people. We sold about 85 pounds of scallops, which is a lot of orders. I won't bore you with the numbers, but we saw a lot of people. We also sold tiramisu. I've got to count the tickets and turn them into Taste of Bethesda, or to what we call here the Bethesda Urban Partnership. But overall, really great event, and we touched a lot of stomachs and made a lot of friends and met people that didn't know about us. And I've had people tell me in years past that they've been coming to the restaurant for years and they found us at a Taste of Bethesda event many years ago. So it really does work. And I want to encourage you as a restaurant owner or chef or manager, whoever you are, to do this kind of thing, right? To get involved, do something to get your name out there and just be positive about it. If you can't do it, if you only do it once or twice a year, then make those your events where you go and you shine and put your best foot forward. Now, make sure that you bring some marketing materials, business cards, flyers, posters, create something cool that you can bring along and give away for kind of a bounce back, what they call a bounce back thing. So, say, hey, we're giving away 2-for-1 lunches, or we're giving away a $50 gift card, or we're giving away whatever, or a latte or a dinner for two or whatever it is. You know, maybe you do a drawing, maybe you collect email addresses. That would be something I should be doing. But people are usually in kind of a festival kind of mood. So collecting it on an app would probably be smart because people are kind of on the move. But it's just a good marketing day. So figure out your angle, take a shot at it, look at it after and ascertain how it went, how many people you got in touch with, that kind of thing. But I just want to encourage you today to do that. Thanks for listening. RestaurantOwnerLessons.com, the podcast. We'll talk to you in the next episode.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.